Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members, listen, members of one another. That's interesting. That's an interesting phrase right there. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, God has called you to use your gifts to minister through the local church. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a day when people do not value church membership, okay, as they did in generations past. And yet the Lord established the church. In digging into this passage, I did not realize when I first started digging that I was going to find a passage of Scripture that in many ways validated the church and invalidated us doing ministry and serving God together. As much as I am an individual Christian, I want you to know I am a member here at North Central, and together we are serving the Lord and making a difference in our community and in the world. And it's very important because Paul is saying to us, this is grace lived out, not just in the individual believer, but grace lived out in the church. And the big idea today is this: let God use you. I almost said it this way: get in the game. So if you want to write that down, you can put that in parentheses. I said, let God use you. But I almost said, get in the game. Get in the game of serving Christ through the local church. It's important. Now, he gives us three things here that kind of temper our statement, let God use you. Here's number one, and I didn't give you the blanks today, so you have to write the whole thing down. Here's number one, with the right attitude. Let God use you with the right attitude. He says there in verse 3, for I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you. This goes to all of us. Every believer gets this message, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. The word to think more highly is the idea to be overly proud. In other words, here's the idea. The idea is, boy, isn't the church lucky to have me? That's the idea. It's the idea of being high-minded. You're high-minded about yourself. Now, the word soberly, here's what he says there, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. That means, it's interesting what that word means. Listen, it means to be in the right mind. In other words, to overthink your abilities is a measure of insanity. Listen, you are really off base if you think, boy, isn't the church lucky to have me? Isn't the church just blessed to have me? Boy, any church would just really need me. Because here's the point. You have the giftedness that you have. You have the talents that you have. You have the resources. You have the time. You have the abilities that you have. Why? Because of the goodness and grace of God. So for you to be high-minded about it is the wrong attitude. So we must let God use us with the right attitude, number one. And then it says that we are in verse 3, it says, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. God is the sole author of everything good that we have in this world. So we are to have the right attitude about it. God has blessed us and allowed us to be a part of his work. So let God use you. Get in the game. But do it with the right attitude. Number two, write this down, with proper cooperation, verses 4 and 5. With proper cooperation. In verse 4 it says this, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." Here's the thought here. The idea is that we have unity because we're one body, but we're diverse. We have individual members with different gifts. And then there's mutual cooperation. We are members of one another. We need one another. Robert, I need you. I need you. And according to the scripture, I hadn't quite figured out, you need me, okay? But we need one another. The point is, we all need one another. And so there's unity, there's diversity, and there's a mutual oneness that comes in the body of Christ. So what are we, what's the big picture is let God use you, because we're studying grace lived out in the church, all right? Now, hold your place in Romans, and I want you to go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. If you want, like for me to read it, I'll just read it out loud. You can follow along, or if you can look up on the screen, I think they have it. It says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body." Verse 21, "And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given great honor to that part which lacks it." Verse 25, "That there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another." So, let God use you with proper cooperation. Now, in other words, we're like a body. We're like the human body. That you've got a hand, you've got an ear, you've got a mouth, you've got feet, and all of it work together. And ladies and gentlemen, in the church family, we all work together. Matter of fact, I wrote down, this was just literally yesterday off the top of my head, here are things that we do in this church. We have greeters, we have teachers, we have ushers, we have nursery workers, we have youth workers, we have drivers, we have missionaries, we have preachers, we have care group leaders, we have fellowship leaders, we have fellowship hosts, we have cooks, we have a kitchen helpers, we have Awana directors, we have handbook leaders, we have VBS workers, we have envelope stuffers. We do. We have camp counselors. We have testimony givers. We have choir members, orchestra members, technical support members, lights, drama, sound tech, PowerPoint director, library volunteer, adopted student parents, international friends, conversational English partners, grounds volunteers. We just did that last week. We had a grounds day, a time to work on the grounds outside. We did that. We have meal preparers. We have cooks. We have women's ministry planners. We have men's ministry planners. Now, you have already thought of several things I left out on here. These are all different things that we do. Now, here's what we've got to realize. Everybody does a part. Everybody has a part. Right now, there are people back here with children. And we're doing what we do, but they're doing what they do. And can I say this to you? What they're doing is just as important as what we're doing. Amen? Maybe more. Maybe more. Let God use you with proper cooperation. Because it says we are individually members of one another. The unity of the members of the body for all their diversity. This is a unity brought about by the fact that they are all in Christ. A unity that does not reduce them to drab uniformity. It's not uniformity, but it's a unity out of diversity. And there is interdependence, for each member belongs to all the others. But we are members of one another. We should also bear in mind that members has no meaning apart from the body. One cannot be a member of nothing. So we all have these different members. We're individually, we have functions in the church. We have assignments in the church. Chuck Swindoll says this when he talks about the body of Christ. He says, the concept of body life is almost foreign in our secular world. Listen, while many business books teach and encourage teamwork, this is important. While many business books teach and encourage teamwork, the motivation almost always comes back to the fulfillment of the individual. In other words, you should think in terms of teams because that's the best way to achieve your own personal success. He's basically saying that's not the picture here in Scripture. In the secular world, oh yeah, they're all about teamwork. We need teamwork. You know why? Because that's a way to advance you individually. So we work as a team in the secular way of living, and in the world out there. Oh yeah, we're all about teams, but it's all about us going forward individually. In the church family, it's all about advancement corporately, as the team makes that impact. Now, so let God use you with the right attitude, with the proper cooperation. Number three, and I'm done, with spiritual gifts. Now, he goes through and gives us seven spiritual gifts. Now, this is not an exhaustive listing. However, there are some, and I have noticed this and kind of come from this perspective. I'm not necessarily dogmatic about this, but I think there's something to it that these are what I would call like motivational gifts. In other words, most everybody that I have seen work in the church comes from one of these seven perspectives. Now the truth is that the Lord Jesus demonstrated all of these with perfect balance. And the closer you come to Christ, the more difficult it is to distinguish all of these, and yet he gives us this list. There are other lists in the New Testament of spiritual gifts, but these are seven spiritual gifts that are almost like you come at it from a spiritual perspective with one of these seven motivations. All right? He says in verse 6, but now, brethren, if I come to you, excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong. Let me go back here to 12. Okay, in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, quickly, let me just give you a quick little definition kind of each one of these. Prophecy. These individuals are gifted by the Holy Spirit with supernatural ability to proclaim God's written word in penetrating and convicting ways. So someone who has that gift of prophecy loves to vocalize their commitment, and they can do that, and they can expound on God's word many times vocally, and it penetrate in a powerful way. The gift of serving. Some call this gift the gift of helping. The Greek verb diakoneo is the origin of our word deacon. And so this is a servant. This is someone who likes to serve behind the scenes. Then you have teaching. Teachers have the ability to communicate revealed truth with knowledge, ease, and clarity. Then you have exhortation. exhortation. This is the gift that mimics the Holy Spirit. The term is derived from the same Greek word translated urge in Romans 12, verse 1. Exhorters have the ability to drive truth home passionately, confront wrong constructively, turn scripture reading into an action plan, and unite believers behind a common endeavor. That is an encourager, all right? Barnabas was an encourager. And then you have givers, or giving. And here's the point about this. While all believers are instructed to be generous, these people look for opportunities to give, offering what they have beyond normal measure. The gift of giving. And then you have two more, the gift of leading, okay? The Greek term can be translated either to lead or to care for. Some call this the gift of administration. They have a gift to administer. Paul uses the term to describe those who possess unusual ability to provide guidance and administration to a group. And then lastly is the gift of mercy. Those with the gift of mercy exercise an extraordinary ability to sense the need of those who are hurting. Now, I have a test. We don't have time to do it in here, but I want you to know, if you are interested in taking a little, it's not a test, it's a little, what do you call something that's really a test, but you don't call it a test? Like an evaluation, okay? I have like an evaluation or a little test you can take, and it gives you kind of a perspective of which way you're leading on this. When I do mine, and I've done it many times, I come down on the gift of prophecy and the gift of exhortation. I love to, exhorters are kind of like otters. Have you ever done those personality things? An otter is someone that's just, you know, they could say to me tonight, the church burned down. I'd say, let's go up there and watch it burn. You know, I mean, you know, you'd be excited about it. You're always upbeat. That is one of the things that typically, I mean, there are times when I'm down about it. But over the years, those are kind of the main two that I have honed in on. Now, I have that test. If you're interested, I'd like to get it to you because I'd love for you to know kind of what your perspective is. I heard this several years ago, and it gives a good perspective. Now, I want to remind you, let God use you with the right attitude, with proper cooperation. That means the assignment God has given you is important in the church family, because not only are you individually in Christ, but corporately we serve together. But also remember this, let God use you with your spiritual gifts or spiritual gift. Every believer has a spiritual gift, and you should be operating in that spiritual gift. Get in the game. So, a Bible study group met in a home to study various ministries and work in the body, in the church. And one person commented, they said, I don't understand how different gifts can work together. At that moment, a woman accidentally dropped her cup and broke and spilled coffee all over the floor. You got the scenario? They're there studying the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and at that moment when someone says, I don't understand how all this works together, a lady dropped her cup of coffee and busted it. And it's all over the floor. The prophet said this, hey, I'd like to have your attention here. I know we can get a handle on this situation so that it won't ever happen again. The teacher gave some advice. Quote, next time if you will put your cup of coffee on the table, that won't happen again. That was the teacher. The administrator or the leader has a gift of leading, responded by organizing a cleanup committee. Hey, Bill, please go find a mop. Sally, could you help with a towel? Bill, who had the gift of service, hurried to get the mop. Sally, who had the gift of service, followed Bill and said, hey, I'll help you. The person with the gift of exhortation said this, listen, we all make mistakes, so don't let it get you down. And then the person with the gift of mercy, now this is Kelly, put her arm around the woman patted her on the hand and said, "I feel so badly for you." Then the person with the gift of giving exclaimed, "Look, don't worry about it. I'll buy a whole new set of coffee mugs to replace this broken one. It's all going to work out." In that little story is an example of how when God has an assignment for a church, God has gifted all of us to make, to see a solution and to see a plan of action at work. So my question to you is, church family, grace lived out last week in the believer. Become a living sacrifice. Become a living sacrifice. This week in the church, let God use you. Find your giftedness and serve the Lord in that area. Once again, greeter, teacher, usher, nursery worker, youth worker, driver, missionary, preacher, care group leader, fellowship host, cook, kitchen helper, Awana director, handbook leader, VBS worker, envelope stuffer, camp counselor, testimony giver, choir member, orchestra member, technical support team, lights, drama, sound tech, PowerPoint director, library volunteer, and the list goes on and on and on. Church family, get in the game. Because the Lord, Paul, has spent 11 chapters giving us a theological foundation of salvation. He's talked about why we needed the gospel. He's talked about the gospel. He's explained the gospel. Even went so far to explain it related to the nation of Israel. And now he turns a corner and he says, now, in light of everything you know, here's how you live it out. Here's how you live it out in your individual life. Now, next week, it's how we live it out as we relate socially one to another. But today is how do you live it out in the church? You know how you do it? What's the big idea? Let God use you. Find your place of service and get in the game. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.